It's 7:41 on this West Virginia morning. I'm John Cantese. Some heated debate took place in the Senate yesterday as a proposal about transporting mine equipment was discussed. And the idea caused concern for some, as it does appear to relax some safety rules.
Men have died. Men died to get this statute passed. Men died after this statute was passed. 9 men in Marion and Monongalia County died for this statute. And now we're going to remove that.
But first, this news.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Nora Rahm. House Republicans are to meet today to discuss the next step in a dispute over immigration and the Department of Homeland Security, which is scheduled to run out of money Friday night. A House-passed bill to authorize spending includes provisions to block President Obama's actions on immigration. In the Senate, Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is offering to vote on a bill without that language. NPR's Elsa Chang reports that might not be enough.
Senate Democrats are not going to agree with the plan unless they get a guarantee from House Speaker John Boehner that this clean DHS funding bill will be brought to the House floor and there will be enough votes to pass it. Senate Minority Leader Harry Reid says he's not going to just bounce a bill from the Senate to the House and watch House Republicans kill it.
NPR's Elsa Chang. Marijuana is now legal in Alaska. As of yesterday, Alaskans may not only possess and use the drug, but they can grow it, transport it, and give it away. Tim Hinterberger is chairman of the campaign to regulate marijuana like alcohol. He says he thinks residents in Alaska will be responsible.
We're really hopeful that they've listened to our message about celebrating responsibly and that they all understand that we don't need any negative publicity, especially right now, while we're still crafting the laws.
Alaska is the fourth state in the union to legalize marijuana, joining Washington, Oregon, and Colorado. I'm Nora Rahm, NPR News in Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR member stations. And from Carbonite, providing secure backup and recovery for businesses and homes. Since 2005, Carbonite has backed up more than 500 billion files, from email servers to family photos. Learn more at carbonite.com. And from the financial services firm of Raymond James. For over 50 years, offering wealth management, banking, and capital markets expertise, with a focus on putting the client's financial well-being first. Learn more at raymondjames.com.
You're listening to West Virginia Morning. I'm John Cantese. Fireworks on the Senate floor yesterday as members of the majority party make a controversial move to pull a bill from committee and have it read on the floor. As Ashton Mara reports, senior members of the Senate say the action was unprecedented.
Senate President Bill Cole repeated the motion originally made by Senate Majority Leader Mitch Carmichael. The move was one meant to save a bill that was killed during a Senate Finance Committee meeting Monday. Senate Bill 14 creates public charter schools in West Virginia. The bill was worked for weeks in the Senate's Education Committee, growing from 21 to 56 pages in length. But Monday, during that finance meeting with three Republican senators absent, Senate Minority Leader Jeff Kessler moved to postpone consideration of the bill indefinitely. With a majority of Democratic committee members present, his motion was approved. Tuesday, however, Republican leaders tried to find a loophole in the rules to bring the bill back to life. Kessler tried to fight the action.
Once that bill has been postponed indefinitely, that bill is done for the session.
Senator, your point is not well taken. Under Senate Rule 34, any bill, resolution, or business made by majority vote of the members present be withdrawn from the committee to which it has been referred or be taken from the table and placed on the calendar of the Senate in such order of business as the Senate may direct.
If it was on the table, I would agree, sir. But this bill is not on the table. It is in limbo.
According to Jeffersonian rules of order, Kessler says his motion during the finance meeting prevents the Senate from taking the bill up for the remainder of the session. The majority, however, holds the position that the Senate is always in charge of any bill, and what a committee decides to do with it is only a recommendation, not a final decision by the body. Veteran Senator Herb Snyder told his fellow members the move was unprecedented and made the bill more likely to be challenged in court, while Senator John Unger warned Democrats such a move may the committee process invalid. After some debate and multiple votes, senators voted on party lines to discharge the bill from the committee 18-16. But the fireworks weren't over as senators moved on to the bills on the calendar up for a vote.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I demand the constitutional reading of the bill in accordance with Article 6,
Section 29 of the Constitution.
The motion from Senator Bob Beach requires the Senate clerk read the entire bill instead of receiving a short summary from a committee chair before putting it to a vote. The move is meant to slow down the legislative process, and it did, as Assistant Clerk Lee Cassis read the bills aloud.
Engrossed Senate Bill 292, a bill to amend and reenact 32A-2-4.
Senators voted on and approved six separate bills during their morning floor session, including one to assess a $15 per year fee to vendors at farmers markets. More than 35 bills were on second reading in the chamber, some of which received minor amendments. A bill to eliminate the tuberculosis test for teachers and students who are at low risk for the disease was recommitted to the Senate's Education Committee for further consideration. But a controversial House bill was passed over.
Engrossed committee substitute for House Bill 2568, the Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act.
The Senator from Jackson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I ask unanimous consent that the bill be advanced to third with the right to amend.
The bill would ban late-term abortions in the state post 20 weeks, except in cases where the mother's health is put at risk. House Bill 2568 is likely to see amendments proposed by Democrats on the floor today, but a similar piece of legislation passed the chamber in a bipartisan fashion last year. That bill was ultimately vetoed by the governor. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Ashton Mara in Charleston.
You're listening to West Virginia Morning. The time is 7:48. Today it's going to be partly cloudy with a chance of snow in the eastern mountains. Highs will be in the 20s and in the 30s. And tonight there will be a chance of snow continuing with lows in the teens and 20s.
Support for our weather forecast is provided by Erie Insurance, putting service first since 1925. Local agents available at erieinsurance.com.
In October, a decision by the U.S. Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals forced Attorney General Patrick Morrisey and Governor Tomlin to back away from a lawsuit challenging the state's gay marriage ban. That decision made the practice legal in West Virginia, and that very day, same-sex couples around the state went to their local courthouses to apply for marriage licenses. The win for the gay community doesn't mean all of their challenges are over, however. In fact, Andrew Schneider, executive director of Fairness West Virginia, says it actually opens them up to the possibility of more discrimination. He joins Ashton Mara last night on the legislature today.
Let's start by talking about a bill that the legislature has seen over and over again. Senate Bill 125 this year, it prohibits discrimination based on sexual orientation and age in housing and employment. You say that we need this bill now more than ever. Explain that logic to me.
Yeah. Now, while marriage equality is a great thing for West Virginia, it actually puts the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender community at greater risk, and greater jeopardy, because you can get married on Sunday and then fired on Monday. The fact that our community can get married now, makes us more visible. So, for instance, like any heterosexual, employee going into the office wearing a ring to reflect the fact that they're married, a gay person can now do that. And the fact that they have the ring when they go into work makes it, that more possible that a homophobic employer can fire them because they're more visible. And just like any other heterosexual couple or employee that goes to work and puts the picture of their spouse on their desk, a gay or a lesbian employee is now able to do the same thing. And they can bring their spouse to the company picnic. They can talk about what their family did before or right around the water cooler. All those things makes the LGBT community more visible and therefore more vulnerable to discrimination. And that's why Senate Bill 125 is so urgent.
At your fall conference, you told those in attendance that you were going to try to change your plans a little. And since you haven't been able to get this bill passed through the legislature, let's focus on the municipalities. And you've been pushing that. Can you talk about which municipalities you've been working with to try to pass these non-discrimination ordinances? How's that going?
Right. Well, that's, you know, that's an important thing to talk about because, you know, we can't wait for the legislature to act. So we need to put these protections in place on the local level. And communities have taken the lead on that. So right now there are six communities that have passed non-discrimination laws that include protection for sexual orientation, gender identity. And there are two cities that have campaigns that are in the works. One is Beckley and one is Elkins.
So there was a bill introduced into the House yesterday, though, the West Virginia Commerce Improvement Act, that would ban communities from passing those types of ordinances. What's your reaction to that bill?
Well, this is also known as the Abolishing Local Liberty Bill, because it would basically take democracy out of the hands of local municipalities, where it very much belongs, because this is pure democracy in its truest form. At the local level. This is what the framers of the Constitution, you know, originally envisioned with our democratic republic, you know, a process that would allow local discussion and local debate on issues that were pertinent to those local municipalities. I mean, I'm sure that the legislature would be equally up in arms if, you know, the federal government tried to take their powers away from them. And that's basically what the legislature would do by passing this type of bill to the local municipalities. It's taking democracy out of the hands of their local governments.
I want to quickly get to one more bill, the Youth Mental Health Protection Act, that you all are backing as well. Can you briefly just tell us what that bill does?
Well, this bill would not permit licensed therapists to practice the discredited conversion therapy that exists throughout the country. And the conversion therapy is basically the false notion that you can convert a LGBT person, a gay or lesbian, bisexual, or transgender person, and make them heterosexual. That has been discredited by the American Medical Association, has been discredited by the American Psychological Association and the American Psychiatric Association.
And we should mention that bill has bipartisan support in the House, so we'll watch it to see if it moves. Executive Director of Fairness West Virginia, Andrew Schneider, thanks so much for joining
us. Thank you. My pleasure.
For more legislative news and information, make sure you tune into the Legislature Today weeknights at 6:30 on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. The House Judiciary took up a bill yesterday that addresses mine safety. Senate Bill 357, also known as House Bill 256, or 2566, rather, is the Coal Jobs and Safety Act of 2015. And this is a big bill with many provisions, and House Judiciary considered a handful of amendments to it. Liz McCormick reports.
There were two amendments to the bill that stirred up some debate within the House Judiciary Committee. Amendment number two, as the delegates called it, was an amendment proposed by Delegate Woody Ireland of Ritchie County. Ireland's amendment addresses when and how and who moves equipment within a coal mine. This amendment adjusts some language related to energized trolley wire, which is a way for miners to move large loads of equipment in shuttle cars. Delegate Tim Manchin of Marion County proposed a rival amendment to Ireland's. In Manchin's amendment, which was referred to as Amendment Number 4, it suggests putting the language back in the bill that is currently law, saying there would be restrictions on how the equipment would be moved. Manchin called Ireland's amendment a rollback in mine safety.
This is a huge rollback in miner safety. To take 70-some mines out of the control of this statute, to say that 70-some mines will now be allowed to move oversized equipment with motors and other apparatuses that are being strained to their limits in carrying that equipment, to remove those from the provisions and to subject coal miners to being in by of those, where they're going to be exposed to those fumes and fire and all the noxious smoke that comes off of that, is an outrage. It is a rollback in coal miner safety. It should not be permitted. That we have not been given any adequate excuse to do that, and therefore we should reject this. Men have died. Men died to get this statute passed. Men died after this statute was passed. 9 men in Marion and Monongalia County died, I think it was in the 60s or early 70s, if I'm not mistaken, because for this statute, and now we're going to remove that.
Delegate Stephen Skinner of Jefferson County, a fellow sponsor of Manchin's amendment, also spoke against Ireland's amendment number 2.
The amendment offered by the gentleman across applies to a very narrow number of mines. The statute as it is right now applies to all mines and is safety focused. We should make the choice for making decisions based on evidence. And we don't have that evidence here today.
Delegate Patrick Lane of Connaught County supported Ireland's amendment, explaining that Amendment Number 2 was a good middle ground and still addressed all the safety concerns.
The gentleman from Ritchie has offered what I would consider to be a balanced approach to making sure that miners in most of the mines where there's a real safety issue with the movement of equipment are protected, but at the same time allowing that equipment to be moved in an efficient manner. And I would just remind people to look at the language that it says that a qualified person has to be in charge of transporting it. And specifically, as we heard yesterday, the primary issue is the energized wire that can create the problem, the real safety issue. And I think the gentleman has addressed that specifically, and would ask the committee to adopt Amendment Number 2 offered by the gentleman from Ritchie and reject Amendment Number 4.
After the debate, however, Ireland's amendment passed and Manchin's amendment was rejected. 2 more amendments were proposed by Delegates Manchin and Skinner, one having to do with the diesel commission and inspections, while the other had to do with rail track variance from the face of a mine. Both amendments were rejected. Senate Bill 357 now reports to the floor for its consideration. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Liz McCormick in the House.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with all the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. And we're interested in your comments, so make sure you send them to feedback@wvpublic.org. And you can follow us on Twitter @WVPublicNews. Support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting's news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our producer is Clark Davis. Our director is Teresa Wills. And I'm John Cantese. Have a good morning.